up to the next section?
Just at the beginning of the second page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When in the evening he walked through town, he would find himself amidst the vibrations of one kirtan after another. In the temples of Krishna, Ram, Chaitanya, Narsingha, and Shiva, in ashram halls, in homes, even amongst groups walking on the streets, there would be kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He would often see Bengali widows gathered together in a hall. Thousands of them lived in ashrams in Vrindavan, staying together with few wants, wearing dull white saris, keeping their hair cut short, never leaving Vrindavan, even for Mathura, wanting only to stay in Vrindavan, to die in Vrindavan, chanting Hare Krishna. A man would sit playing mridanga and leading a chant while a group of widows clapped their hands unevenly, responding in their childlike voices. The drum, the clapping, the singers, unpolished but earnest, made a sweet sound in the evening. As a bhai walked, no sooner would the sound of one kirtan fade than another would rise loudly before him and then fade behind him as another rose to meet him. A temple bell ringing formidably, intermingling with the drums, cymbals, and chorus of another group, or a single person passing nearby singing in his own, Radhe, Radhe. Even the greetings were kirtan, Jai Radhe, Hari Bol. As faces passed, as carts clattered by, as men joked or made their last transactions of the day in the market, and as stray cows made their way home, their bells clanging around their necks, somehow everything was in connection with Krishna. And as Abhai returned to the secluded Vamsi Gopalaji temple, there also he would hear kirtan, only more private. Perhaps only a husband and wife in their room. The man playing mridanga and singing one line of a bhajan, his wife singing in response. Vrindavan was not ordinary. Every singer sounded sweet in his own way, an expert melodious, and everyone sang of Krishna. Krishna was present in every occasion and event. Srila Prabhupada. The glories of Krishna nobody can understand. Similarly, Vrindavan, the land which is known as Vrindavan, also has unlimited potency. When you go to Vrindavan, you will find unlimited potency of spiritual atmosphere. Still, if you go to Vrindavan, you will see so many saints and sages. Still, they are worshipping Vrindavan Dham. As Lord Krishna is worshipable, similarly his place, Vrindavan, is as good as Krishna. It is also worshipable. So this just, of course, tells a little bit about what Vrindavan is like, and where Prabhupada lived there, so it's telling about the atmosphere that was going on in Vrindavan. Now for the Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatam Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the Supreme Most Human Being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the Goddess of Learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the Author. Nastapreshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistaki By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of God and to his praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Fifth canto, chapter 1, the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, text 17.
Get my glasses.
Vayam pramatasya vanesha pisyad. Yathasaste sasatsapatnaha.
Yathasaste sasatsapatnaha.
Jatindriyasyatma ratir buddhasya.
Jatindriyasyatma ratir buddhasya.
Grihashrama kim nukarotya vadyam.
Grihashrama kim nukarotya vadyam.
Vayam pramatasya vanishvapi syat.
Vayam pramatasya vanishvapi syat.
Yatha sahaste sahasatsapatnaha.
Yatha sahaste sahasatsapatnaha.
Jatendriyasyatma ratir buddhasya.
Jatendriyasyatma ratir buddhasya.
Grihashrama kim nukarotya vadyam. Vayam pramatasya vanishvapi syat.
Vayam pramatasya vanishvapi syat.
Yatha sahaste sahasatsapatnaha.
Yatha sahaste sahasatsapatnaha.
Jatindriyasyatma ratir buddhasya.
Jatindriyasyatma ratir buddhasya.
Grihashrama kim nukarotya vadyam.
Grihashrama kim nukarotya vadyam.
Vayam pramatasya vanesha pisya.
Vayam pramatasya vanesha pisya. Even.
Syat.
Syat.
It must be.
It must be.
Yataha.
Yataha.
Because.
Because.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
One who is not self-controlled.
One who is not self-controlled.
Aste.
Aste.
Is existing.
Is existing.
Saha.
Saha.
With.
With.
Sat. Sapatnaha.
Sat. Sapatnaha.
Six co-wives.
Six co-wives.
Jita Indriyasya.
Jita Indriyasya.
For one who has already conquered the senses.
For one who has already conquered the senses.
Atmarate.
Atmarate.
Self-satisfied.
Self-satisfied.
Udasya.
Udasya.
For such a learned man.
Such a learned man.
Griha Ashramaha.
Griha Ashramaha.
Household life.
Household life.
Kim.
Kim.
What?
What?
New.
New.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Karoti.
Karoti.
Can do.
Can do.
Abadyam.
Abadyam.
Palm. Translation. Even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage because he is living with six co-wives, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Even household alike, however, cannot harm a self-satisfied, learned man who has conquered his senses. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Grihe va vanite take, ha goranga bale dake. Whether one is situated in the forest or at home, if he is engaged in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya, he is a liberated person. Here this is also repeated. For one who has not controlled his senses, going to the forest to become a so-called yogi is meaningless because his uncontrolled mind and senses are going with him. He cannot achieve anything, even by giving up household life and staying in the forest. Formerly, many mercantile men from the up country of India used to go to Bengal, and thus there is a familiar saying, if you go to Bengal, your future will go with you. Our first concern, therefore, should be to control the senses. And since the senses cannot be controlled unless engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, our most important duty is to engage the senses in devotional service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Bhakti means engagement in the purified senses in the service of the Lord. Engagement of the purified senses in the service of the Lord. Herein Lord Brahma indicates that instead of going to the forest with uncontrolled senses, it is better and more secure to engage the senses in the service of the Lord. Even household life can do no harm to a self-controlled person acting in this way. It cannot force him into material bondage. Srila Rupa Goswami has further enunciated this position. Iha yasya hariyadasye karmana manasa gira nikilas vapya vastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. Regardless of one's circumstances, if one fully engages his activities, mind, and words in the devotional service of the Lord, he should be understood to be a liberated person. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a responsible officer and a householder, yet his service to the cause of expanding the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is unique. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Pantali Proktata Damstrayate. The sense organs are certainly our greatest enemies, and they are therefore compared to venomous serpents. However, if a venomous serpent is bereft of its poison fangs, it is no longer fearful. Similarly, if the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no need to fear their activities. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement move within the material world, but because their senses are fully engaged in the service of the Lord, they are always aloof from the material world. They are always living in a transcendental position. Translation again. Even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage because he is living with six co-wives, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Even household life, however, cannot harm a self-satisfied learned man who has conquered his senses. Okay. Namaste, Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pacharani, Nivasesis, and Yavadi Prashtacharadesatarani. So Narottam Das Thakur says, whether one is situated in the forest or at home, if he is engaged in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya, he is a liberated person. Here this is also repeated. For one who has not controlled his senses, going to the forest to become a so-called yogi is meaningless, because his uncontrolled mind and senses are going with him. He cannot achieve anything, even by giving up household life and staying in the forest. There was once a devotee, I don't remember where, I think it may have been in India, and he wanted to go to the forest, you know, and Srila Prabhupada said, what would you do? You'll simply think of sex life. So if your senses are not controlled, it doesn't matter where you are, it's going to be uncontrolled. Even if you've got no impetus, nothing to agitate you, still, you got your mind. You have your mind and your five senses. They're still going to go. Your mind is still going to think of nonsense. Doesn't matter where you are. So the only way to deal with it is by controlling your senses. And in this purport, very nicely explains in different verses how to control the senses. By engaging your senses in Krishna service. When your senses are engaged, when you're full with Krishna, there's no room for Maya. When your senses are engaged, there's no way they can be distracted. You're engaging them. So sometimes you might be engaged when there's a lapse, when there's like a little break, and Maya tries to sneak in. So you have to have your senses engaged all the time in serving Krishna. So when there's a lapse, we have Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We can fill all the laps with this, the Maha Mantra. It was a play we did in Chicago of this genie that had to be engaged. He had to be engaged, so he said, well, give me $1 million. I've got $1 million. Give me this, give me that. Got all this stuff, and he had to engage the genie. So then he finally told the genie, chant Hare Krishna, and then the genie just kept chanting Hare Krishna that way. Now we can enjoy the things that the genie gave him. That wasn't the purpose. But the purpose was that how we can engage in this chanting of Hare Krishna eternally. It's something that could go on forever. So this is what is recommended. Our senses have to be engaged. Even the chanting of Hare Krishna, what are we saying? Oh my Lord, oh energy of my Lord, please, both of you, engage me in your service. So we chant, and then we say, Prabhu, I got something. Would you like to do this? No, I got to chant.
Yes.
It's like, what are you asking for? You're asking for service. We give you some service, and now you want to chant. It's like, God, Krishna, please let me serve you. Please let me serve you. And then Krishna gives you an opportunity working through a devotee. Here, why don't you do this service? No, I want to just keep asking for it. I'm asking for the service. I don't want to actually do it. So we have to be eager to do anything. It says for a devotee, Vaishnava does anything. Even there's the varnas, there's a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. A devotee is transcendental to all of them. A devotee can act as a Shudra. A devotee can act as a Kshatriya. He can act as a Brahmin. He can act in any way, whatever Krishna wants. It doesn't make a difference because the whole point is to please Krishna. So some people get caught up in I'm Brahmin, I don't do this. I only chant, lead kirtans, give class, educate people. I don't do these other things. This is not really a very advanced devotee. This is more of a Brahmin. A Brahmin is lower than a devotee. A devotee is the highest. A devotee is above a Brahmin. A Vaishnava is above a Brahmin. So we may say we're Vaishnavas, we're not really Vaishnavas. We should say, honestly, we're aspiring to become Vaishnavas. So we want to come to that platform where all we want to do is serve Krishna. That's higher than than a Brahmin, way higher than a Brahmin, no comparison. That's completely transcendental. The Brahmin is more in the mode of goodness. So we want to come to the transcendental platform, and that means whatever Krishna wants, we do. And we use our senses. And when you're using your senses, there's less of a chance, much less of a chance, of you falling down. If you just simply try to meditate, try to withdraw your senses, very difficult. We see in the Bhagavatam there was what's his name? Who got agitated by a fish while he's meditating in water. I mean, what more can you do? You go in the water. Subari, was it?
Subari Muni.
So you go underwater. Come on, what's going to bother you there? You know, I can't. And still a fish comes by and he gets agitated by some fish. He's watching some fish have sex life in there, and he gets agitated from that. You know, this material world, it doesn't take much, because if our mind is not engaged in Krishna's service, to think of filth and dirt, because we've been conditioned for so long. Now we're trying to recondition, just like you know, programming. You know, you make a program. We made a program, and that's what we're following, this program. Now we're trying to change the program. Instead of thinking of what's best for my senses, think of what's best for Krishna's senses. Krishna has senses. He's a person. How can I please him? So we're doing so many things, making flower garlands, offer flowers, we offer arati. We chant for him. We're glorifying him. We do so many things for his pleasure, and that way our senses are engaged. When you have, you know, param drishtva nivartate, by experiencing a higher taste. So not only are your senses engaged, but when they are engaged in serving Krishna, you get a higher taste. The material taste is very dull. But because you don't have anything else, therefore it gets attractive. And it's chewing the chewed. I already did it so many times, but I do it again. And it still doesn't satisfy me like I thought it would. Maya is so expert at making you think that this is going to be really nice. This is going to make you happy. This is what you really want. And you feel like it, and you know it, and you do it, and it doesn't, and then it's like, sucker. I got you to fall for that again. Okay, but this time really it'll be good. This time. And you do it time and time again. And it doesn't satisfy you, and it doesn't make you happy, it doesn't satisfy you, it doesn't do anything. It just gives you chapalasukha, some flickering happiness. For a little bit, you forget about all the miseries, but then the miseries are even there more. So by engaging your senses in Krishna's service, you actually become happy. It's not the same type of sense gratification. It's not satisfying the sense, it's satisfying the whole being. The soul becomes satisfied. The body, the mind, the senses, everything becomes satisfied. It's not the same as just some sense gratification where this feels good. No, it's the whole body feels good. The mind, we relate to the body so much. So therefore, when the body feels good, we feel good. But it's the soul that's actually feeling ecstatic from serving Krishna. And when the soul feels ecstatic, then also it penetrates through the body and the rest of the senses and the mind. So this is the process. And Srila Prabhupada has so expertly set this whole process up that even here he says that the Krishna conscious devotee, he's always engaged. He set it up. And if you were around when Srila Prabhupada was here, you were always engaged. There's hardly any room for Maya. Somehow we found a little room now and then. But in general, there was so much to do, there is no time for Maya. Even devotees, one devotee told Srila Prabhupada, I'm sleeping, 4 hours a night. I have all this service. I have so much to do. I can't finish my rounds. Prabhupada says, sleep less. So it's like when you don't have any time for Maya, you're just only with Krishna. He gave the example of a glass of milk in an inky atmosphere. If it's full of milk, there's no room for ink. But if the milk comes out, then automatically ink will come in. So if you're full with Krishna, there's no room for Maya. Maya cannot get in. But soon as you give her a little space, soon as you relax a little, then Maya is going to fill that space. It's not going to get, just because of our conditioning. Once we become pure, once we only want Krishna, we actually develop our love for Krishna, then everything reminds us of Krishna, and that's all we can think of is Krishna. So if there's any space, it's just filled with Krishna. But right now, we have to work really hard. Prabhupada said, do you know, anybody know what Prabhupada said our motto should be? Do you know? Like, say it louder.
Chant and be happy.
Work now, samadhi later.
Well, he said work now, samadhi later, but he didn't say that should be. He said our motto should be work hard for God. That should be our motto. You work hard for God. So it's not just working, you know, just lackadaisical, relax, work. No, it's working hard. Very intense work. Not for ourselves, but for God, for His pleasure, for Krishna. He actually said God too. So I guess other people could relate to it, you know, that are not Hare Krishna devotees. Not just work hard for Krishna, but work hard for God. So even if you're a Christian, work hard for God. That applies for everyone. So that should be our motto, work hard for God. Just speaking about motto, what about symbol? What did he say our symbol should be? You probably know. We have a symbol. Yeah, well, they had the Russian symbol was a sickle and a hammer, hammer and sickle. And the devotee mentioned it, actually, that what we should have, because he's speaking about farming and agriculture, he said, well, maybe ours should be a tilak and a sickle. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's very good. So our emblem should be tilak and sickle, not hammer and sickle. Hammer is like the factory is working. Well, that's the Russians. They can do what they want. Sorry if anybody's Russian here. But at least we got the sickle. But we should have tilak and sickle. So we're devotees, and we do farming. You know, even devotees, you know, farming is a vaishya thing. But as a devotee, you can do farming and be a pure devotee, be above a Brahmin by doing farming, if you're doing it for Krishna. So, well, before I read any more, anyone have any questions? Because we don't have too much time. Okay. For one who has not controlled his senses, going through the forest to become a so-called yogi is meaningless. Because his uncontrolled mind and senses are going with him, he cannot achieve anything even by giving up household life and staying in the forest. Formerly, many mercantile men from the up country. I imagine the up country is like in the Himalayas or something, you know, the mercantile men. They come from the up country. I'm not sure what up country means. I'm speculating. Up country of India used to go to Bengal, and thus there is a familiar saying. So they go, they're not doing so good where they are and selling their goods, so they go to Bengal. And in Bengal they had a saying, if you go to Bengal, your future will go with you. So you're still not going to be able to sell anything. This is a Bengali saying. But even this saying, Prabhupada says this in other things, if you move from Bengal, you take your future with you. He's also said that. So basically, you got your karma. Don't think if you change your external situation, your karma is going to be better. Everything will be nice. No, you're going to get the same thing no matter where you are. So better you just surrender to Krishna. That's the point. He even says how at birth, you know, you have so many breaths. You have so much that you're going to have to go through in this lifetime. Changing your external situation does not change that. The only way to change that is engage in devotional service, and then you can end this whole cycle of karma, repeated birth and death. So rather than try to figure out some material solution to your problems, you figure out the spiritual solution, and that's surrendering to Krishna. That's the only solution, because some devotees, at least one devotee here, was once giving class saying how we have to first get our material life in place, running nicely. Then we engage in devotional service. And Prabhupada says, wherever there's spiritual well-being, automatically material well-being will follow. So if you're spiritually fit, materially things are going to go nicer. I mean, I could just honestly think of my life, not that I'm so spiritually fit, but, you know, I I've retired at age 23, you know, pretty much. Never had work. And I have everything I want. It's like, not that I'm lacking in anything. It's like I just surrendered to, try to surrender to Krishna. I got a couple of little jobs here and there, very little, you know, one day a week, you know, working for about 4 or 5 hours. And it was enough for to maintain me. And I'm not taking money from the temple, taking money from Krishna. He provides my needs, you know, if I live in a temple, he provides everyone who lives in the temple. You get a place to stay, you get your food, you get your basic necessities. And even when we went, when I was a devotee here in Boston, we would go to the hospital when we were sick, and we'd get billed, and we never paid our bills. And we used to quote, well, we paid other bills, not hospital bills. And we used to quote Srila Prabhupada. He said, hospitals are meant to be hospitable. And when he went to the hospital, when he first came here, he had a heart attack. He was in the hospital. You'll read about this later on in probably the next volume. He got the bill, and that's, I think, when he said it, hospitals are meant to be hospitable. I think he threw the bill in the trash. And then later on, after Prabhupada left his body, and they were doing the Leelamrita, Shamika Rishi, who was a Prabhupada disciple, and a Satsarupa disciple also, he had to get information about Prabhupada's illness. So he went to the hospital, and he got all the records of what happened when Prabhupada was in the hospital. And he also noticed the bill was never paid. So obviously, if you could afford to pay your bills, then you do it, you know, hospital bills. But otherwise, hey, they have some system here. And in Massachusetts, it's pretty easy now. I think everybody gets health care. And even in the beginning, we used to go to the emergency room. So then they finally said, okay, if you want to get, you know, medical, don't go to the emergency room. They basically knew we weren't going to pay, and they gave us some other thing that was cheaper to go there, and they'll take care of us. So we started doing that. We were very cooperative. Oh, I don't know how I got on the hospitals.
Just go for spiritually urgent care. Fit.
What?
Just go for urgent care.
No spirit. Anyway, wherever there's, I mean, the last thing I remember was what you were saying, wherever there's spiritual well-being, automatically material well-being will follow. I was talking about how Krishna took care of me. He took care of everything, whenever I had problems. Okay. What? Our first concern, therefore, should be to control the senses. And since the senses cannot be controlled unless engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So people can't control the senses without engaging them in the Lord's service. Like you might be able to control the senses by withdrawing the senses. People do this other type of yoga. Not recommended in this age. But you might find one or two people who can actually do it to some extent. But even if you do it, it doesn't last as long. You know, people who perform this meditation in yoga, you know, groups, there's a lot of yoga stuff. They do hatha yoga, is fine. Then they do some meditation. And then they go out and then, you know, they're back in the world and they're attracted to all the glitter of the material world. So just by trying to control your senses. Here it says the senses cannot be controlled unless engaged in devotional service of the Lord. Our most important duty is to engage the senses in devotional service. So it's not controlled because they're only controlled temporarily. It's like not being in control. It's like I'm not going to do this, and then you're doing it. It's like you control it for three times that you said it. but it doesn't last. You can't physically, no matter how you try, you can't physically just control the senses, because the senses are going to win out. You can control them for a little while, but you're just going to fall down. I mean, this is from practical experience and from what it says here, that you cannot control the senses. So for practical experience, I can control them for a little bit. You know, you can't hold your breath forever. You know, I can hold my breath, but how long can you hold it for? You know, I think most anybody done is something like 10 minutes. I have no idea how they can even do it 10 minutes. But, you know, people can hold their breath. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Bhakti means engagement of the purified senses in the service of the Lord. Okay, so we can end here unless somebody has any comments or questions. Yes. Right, yeah.
And don't put the two together.
Yeah, you can enjoy better sex life if your body is in good, fit condition. It's like they're missing a point.
Yeah,
but that's pretty much what they do, right? I went to Kupalu once. I went there several times. But once, and there's the chanting, we're having a program there at Kupalu. I think it was when Indradumna Swami was there, and there's kirtan going on, and then there's people dancing, and they're dancing in such a sexual way. It's like, oh man, they're really, you know, that's, you know, what they get out of it. Even in one of in the 10 offenses to the holy name, if one is to give some interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. And I remember when I was new devotee, I didn't quite understand that, and I asked Somadas, and he told me that that, like, for instance, Allen Ginsberg, who was a great supporter of this movement in the beginning, he said that this chanting of Hare Krishna was like some sexual thing, that it, you know, it just, you know, it's almost like an aphrodisiac or something. This chanting is a sexual kind of thing. So that's given some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. I mean, that's a real perverted interpretation, but people may interpret the holy name of the Lord and think it means this or it does this. You know, that's an offense against the holy name. So, he used to be, in our Bhagavad Gita, there used to be quotes by different scholars. They also had him in there until one of the scholars, I think, talked to Srila Prabhupada and told him a little bit about his behavior, and then they took out his quote from the old Bhagavad Gita. But in the older Bhagavad Gitas, Allen Ginsberg was in there. But he did help a lot, and he benefited eternally for everything he did. But he was mostly into sense gratification. He did not engage his senses fully in the service of the Lord. Yeah, so this yoga people are kind of like that. I mean, it's funny because, you know, they do all this and they can actually come from that platform and go to a higher spiritual platform, and instead they just go down to a lower platform, but a little more refined than others. It's considered happiness in the mode of goodness. I enjoy more than they do. I enjoy better than they do. You know, they're enjoying, but lower than I am enjoying. I'm more refined. It's just sense gratification. But we, you know, we try to preach them. You teach yoga, you try to probably have chanting. I went one time for yoga class. I joined this gym for like really cheap, and you can go to any classes for free. I didn't last either at the gym or at the yoga, but I went to the yoga class, and when I went, they're chanting Hare Krishna. They got it chanting. It was this Krishna Das. And I didn't know who it was or what it was, but I'm thinking, wow, these people are devotees. This is great. I talked to them afterwards. They didn't, not in the least bit devotees, you know, the people who were teaching it. They just like the chant, you know. But it's nice that they like the chant. But it's not completely spiritual. And I wouldn't listen, personally, I wouldn't listen to his chanting. I'd play some devotee bhajan, although he's supposed to be some devotee, I don't know. I'd stick in ISKCON, safer. So play your music, do your yoga, and keep your senses under control by engaging Krishna service. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.